So I want to start my talk with a question. I'm going to show a video. I want you to pay close attention. And at the end of the video, I'm going to see how much attention you were paying. So let's roll with that.
I need to know everything they told you.
So, what are all those games have in common? Well, if you said they were all Xbox games, you'd be correct. If you said they're all high-performant, high-quality, high-fidelity video games that you look forward to playing every day, you'd also be correct. And if you said they were all UWP games shipped on Windows 10 through the Windows Store, guess what? You're also correct. UWP games are the way to build games in the Microsoft ecosystem. I'm Andrew Parsons, and together with my colleague James Yarrow, we're going to talk to you about the state of play with UWP game development, what it is now, what it's been, and where we're headed. So UWP gaming, as I said, it's here right now. It's great. We've already published dozens of games that are these super blockbuster first-party and third-party titles that you can see here on the screen, and more coming. We actually showed a version of this slide back at GDC just a couple months ago, and we've already had to add like a dozen games that are all shipped through the Windows Store as UWP, Universal Windows Platform titles. And that's only possible with the work that we've been doing to converge the different types of systems, the store, the infrastructure, and the developer experience for building games across the Microsoft ecosystem. And it didn't just start yesterday, right? We've been doing this for a while now. And back in 2015, when we launched Windows 10, we immediately let you guys build games with a Universal Windows platform on Windows 10. But on Xbox, we weren't quite there. And so we still had the core. We had the operating system built on the Windows 10 core, but we weren't able to give you that ability to publish those Universal Windows games. And we made that promise, but we hadn't quite delivered. Last year, we made a big step forward, and we actually converged our stores. And in fact, if you put the Xbox and Windows stores side by side, you'll see they're pretty much identical. One might be a dark theme, and one might be a light theme, but they're basically the same set of XAML and rendering that you actually see on either of those platforms. And on the Xbox, we finally allowed you to actually start publishing UWP titles, albeit apps, not games, but apps. And that was an important step as part of our convergence of being able to do things on our ecosystem. And so finally this year, besides continuing to improve how UWP is developed on Windows, and I'm going to go into some detail on that, we also finally am delivering on that promise of Universal Windows Platform, a true convergence of being able to build games across both of our major platforms and also our other platforms like HoloLens and Mixed Reality. So a step back in terms of game development, when we launched on Xbox, how we were going to do game development. And first and foremost, our first-party games and our third-party publishers like Ubisoft and Activision and EA, they all obviously got a head start and started building some really high-quality games on our console. But very soon after that, we announced the IE at Xbox program, which gave indie devs the ability to publish games as well. It's still a managed program. It still has a number of requirements you have to meet and a sort of publishing schedule and all sorts of other things that you need to sort of agree to when you're building an ID at Xbox. But it was a great way for hundreds of developers to be able to start publishing on Xbox. But we needed more, and it still wasn't delivering our promise of the UWP, the Universal Windows Platform Convergence story for game developers. So what's next? So let's look at those paths of, to developer success that we currently have. You've always had the ability to build games for PC through Win32 development. Yeah, it's always been there. On the other end of the spectrum, we have the Xbox side. Right? Managed programs. You either do a XDK with a managed partner like EA or first party game, or you sign up with the ID at Xbox program, which gives you full access to the Xbox Live Stack, and it gives you that ability to publish into the store. But we now give you the ability to create UWP games. If you do it without Xbox Live, you publish into the Windows 10 store. If you sign up with the ID at Xbox program, you have the ability to publish to both. As a UWP, you publish into Windows 10, and then on the Xbox side, you can do that managed pathway. There's a bit of a hole there. And so back at GDC, just a couple months ago, we announced the Xbox Live Creators Program. And I've just got a simple statement here, but it's so critical when you're a game developer. This is a really important statement, right? The Creators Program is an open program, number one. Number two, it means any developer can now publish, create, deploy, and sell an Xbox Live-enabled Universal Windows Platform game for both console and PC. So I want to highlight two things. One, this is the first time any developer can now publish a game on the console, so you can simultaneously publish Windows and Xbox. And two, it's the first time ever any developer can actually use the Xbox Live services to enhance their game and make a much more feature-rich experience for your gamers. So the Creators Program, it actually uses the standard Windows Store policies. There's no additional secret little terms and conditions. It's all rolled into the standard policies that you agree to when you sign up on the Dev Center. And the Dev Center, if you've got a Dev Center account, you have access to Xbox Live Creators Program. There's no additional fees or licensing. It's all standard stuff there. It's super easy to configure in the store. It's basically checkboxes to say, I'm building an Xbox Live Creators Program game. And on the dev side, it's super simple APIs that you can use to actually find and use those and consume those Xbox Live services. You're on your own schedule. You're on your own calendar. You can publish whenever you want, just like any other UWP game or app. And we've selected a subset of the Xbox Live services that are easy to implement and accessible for everyone to really get you started with that. So why is that important? Why is it important to have Xbox Live when you're talking about games? Well, there's three sort of big buckets I want to sort of dive into here. The first one is the reach, that you want to have your consumers, your gamers be able to get to your game. And having things like identity and basic presence allows your gamers, the people who are already playing your game, to basically promote your game without even needing to put any effort into it. And so you can see here, I've actually got one of my friends is playing Gems of War, and I can say, hey, what's that game? I could go check it out. And so you get this sort of promotion engine built in through Xbox Live because of that basic presence that you have ability to access. And it's the same thing, you can use the APIs to actually access which friends are playing for a particular player, and you can actually share some rich data there for them. I want to, again, emphasize the fact that UWP allows you to build once and deploy onto multiple platforms, gives you that ability to really to give your players a real good connection and exposure there. And then that store being converged gives you the ability to sell that one game across all of the devices in the entire Windows ecosystem. In the second group, we have things about engagement and building that sort of rapport with your players and your consumers. And the first part is Beam Interactive Streaming, which is, you know, it was a great sort of add into the Xbox ecosystem to be able to let your players actually stream out what they're playing in your game and have an interaction with people who are watching it. So therefore, having even more chances of people actually seeing your game, more exposure for people seeing the gameplay in your game and wanting to check it out and play it themselves. And then we have these two extra things that communities can be built around your game. The first one is game hubs that you as a publisher can create for your game and allows you to have a really rich experience on the Xbox for gamers to be able to discover and explore your game even before they even buy it. But similarly, we have clubs. So we have the game hubs and we have clubs that players can create. And they can create it around your game, they can create it around one particular aspect of your game, or anything else that they want to have a shared community around, they can do that. These things are really powerful ways of building engagement, and you being in part of that is a critical part these days of actually publishing a successful game. The final feature I wanted to highlight here for Xbox Live in terms of engagement is the fact that we have this system-level party chat through Xbox Live. So when you build a game on Xbox Live Creators Program and you leverage off the Xbox Live services, you don't need to have in-game chat because it's part of the actual operating system. So they just start up a party and they can be playing, you know, and comparing and talking about what they're doing. The third group I wanted to look at was the fact that we have these really, really scalable systems that you have access to. The fact that your game can have leaderboards and stats, so people can actually feature, you know, their achievements in terms of what they've made in your game. They can brag with each other, can compete against each other through the leaderboard and stats that you can put into your game as part of Xbox Live. Over 1 billion DVR game clips have already been made, and more can be made about your game that you can actually use to further promote your game to other people who are looking out for something new. Connected storage allows you to, as a developer, let your players play, stop on one device, move to another device, and continue playing from where they left off. That's an incredible, important feature, and so totally accessible as part of Xbox Live for you. And then the final one I wanted to feature is just as important as any of those others, is to expand the number of people who can have fun with your game and have fun with Xbox. We have these system-level accessibility features that you can take advantage of. Text-to-speech, speech-to-text, and other things like that really give your game the ability to engage with a much broader audience than otherwise it might have been able to. So with the Creators Program, it is a subset of the Xbox Live features, as I mentioned, and you'll see here, it's actually quite a large subset, and it's got the core basic things that you might need. Xbox Live sign-in and presence, the fact that you can actually show someone's profile, Xbox profile and gamertag, and see their friends and have leaderboards. But you can also do some of those other things like clubs and hubs and use the connected storage I just mentioned. You do have access to a few other things that aren't in the managed programs, things like the fact that it's an open program with no NDA, so you get full access to all the APIs. They're completely open and accessible, and you can do publishing on your own schedule, and you go through the standard Windows certification. There are some features you don't get. Those features, the ones I want to highlight are achievements in gamer score and multiplayer, and there's some very fundamental reasons for why we don't do that. But if you want to have those features, we do have the ID at Xbox program that you can enroll in and actually get them that way. But you may decide that you don't need those. So when we go back to our little chart here of different ways of building games in the Microsoft ecosystem, we can now fill in that big gap in the middle in the UWP space. And it's important to show that now we've got a way for you to build a universal Windows platform game, publish it on both Windows and Xbox. You actually have a featured area, featured collection on the Xbox for creators' games, and you can use the Xbox Live services for that. But Creators Program is only one of many features that we've been working on through the Windows ecosystem for you to build better games for game development. Some of the other things over the last year, Xbox Play Anywhere allows the sort of managed games to be able to buy once and play on multiple different platforms. We had the Xbox Live itself, over 55 million gamers are playing Xbox Live, and that gives you a fairly large pool of gamers to be able to talk to, and they're all talking to each other through all those features that we talked about. Another example of how we're trying to converge is Windows Sonic. Windows Sonic is our set of APIs for spatial audio. And it's something that we learned about when we did HoloLens. Because when you do AR, augmented reality or virtual reality, you have to get the audio right. If the audio doesn't sync with the visuals, you lose that immersion aspect that's so crucial for that type of experience. And so we learned a lot when we built the HoloLens, and we've actually extracted a lot of that out and abstracted it into a set of APIs that we call Windows Sonic. And it actually allows you to do that sort of immersive spatial audio across headphones and just TV speakers, and we've partnered with Dolby to actually do it with some high-fidelity sound systems as well. For larger games, and games do actually tend to be one of the larger types of app, you've got the streaming install, so players can get access to your game faster and get into it without having to wait for the whole thing to be downloaded. Beam, as I mentioned, is that interactive thing. Beam streaming is an amazing experience that allows the players and the watchers to be able to interact, and you can actually build stuff out of that and use APIs to actually maybe tweak the way the game is experienced by the player based on what's happening in the stream. Game mode allows Windows 10 to be optimized in a way to give your game way more of the resources, guaranteed resources, so you don't have to sort of rely on the sort of shared aspect of how Windows works with apps. And then finally, I do want to highlight the fact that we're continuing to build more and more on Windows to make UWP the best way to build games for Microsoft and the Microsoft ecosystem. So let me focus on game mode a little bit, and then I'm going to do a little bit more, and then I'm going to switch over to James for a bit of a technical deep dive into some of these things. What is game mode? Well, it's a Windows feature that allows your users to play your game with the best possible experience they can have on their machine. It basically allows your game to be isolated and you have a bit more of a guaranteed access to the CPU and GPU resources of a machine by indicating that this is indeed a game. And so when your game is focused and when it's been marked as a game by using the game mode feature, you get the CPU is partitioned up and you get a guaranteed sort of exclusive access to one of the partitions to get a significant amount of the CPU. Similarly, with the GPU, you get a lot more of the utilization and the memory for the GPU to be able to really optimize for that. It's actually really simple for people to do that. You don't have to do anything for your game for it to be game mode enabled. Any app, any game, even Win32 apps can actually have game mode enabled by the user. They just bring up the game bar with Windows key G, go in settings, and indicate that this is a game mode app, and then automatically that app will actually get all those resources. But if you don't want to rely on your user knowing that they need to do that, you can actually, in the app manifest, specify that your game should have that expanded resource model. And so what that might look like, once you've actually got that in your game, you can then start interrogating the system to see if you've actually got those exclusive cores. And you can do some really interesting things. So my sample here that I've got is I'm actually asking the system how many cores do I actually have access to in my user's CPU. And if I have more than three, I could do some pretty high-quality, dedicated graphics processing. But if I have less than three, then maybe I decide to do that graphics processing a different way. Maybe I reduce my frame rate or my resolution or just use a different way of optimizing those graphics so that I don't need to use those extra resources. So with all of that, we come back to our chart one more time. And we think about those features. What I want to sort of leave you with all this stuff, with whether you want to do Win32 or you want to do Xbox or you really want to focus on universal Windows platform and the way we've been converging, I want to highlight that all those things I just talked about, those eight sort of boxes that I showed a couple slides back, all of those are available on UWP. Now, some are on Win32, like Windows Sonic or Beam. Some are on the Xbox side with managed programs through, you know, things like Play Anywhere and Xbox Live, obviously. But only UWP, only building your game as a universal Windows platform game, gives you access to all of those features. A couple of points on building a game on the Xbox as a universal Windows platform game. Firstly, it's now available as part of the Creators Update to be able to have UWP games running on the console. It means that when you build a game, you build it with one core, one code base. And it means that you can just build once and deploy to both platforms. You submit it through the Windows Dev Center, just like any other game that you might do on Windows 10, and you just check the box to say, I want to put it on Xbox as well. There is a little caveat right now. As of today, you only get access to the app envelope on the console, which means you only get a roughly a quarter of the resources, the CPU and GPU, and memory sort of utilization stuff. All of that is what you would get if you were building a UWP app. We're working hard to change that and to make it even better, but right now that's where we're at. But on the flip side, you actually also get some really cool, interesting features as a game developer on the console when you're building UWP. For example, I've got the Windows features. Some of the Windows features are on console. And my example there is keyboard support. And I've actually spoken to two different game developers in the last week that have actually expressed interest in actually implementing keyboard support on the console. They've got games they've published on Windows, and they want to publish on console, but their game kind of needs chat, or it kind of needs the ability to type in a bunch of text. And yeah, you could put it on a chat pad on a controller, but it's not really the experience that they're hoping for, and they feel that it would probably diminish the experience for their gamers. And so having the ability to use a universal Windows platform game and put it on the console and have just direct keyboard support actually really excites them. And so that's an important thing to think about. The Creators Update, and James is going to talk about the Direct3D side of it, but I want to also highlight that it's a unified graphics stack. It allows you to target one level of Direct3D and DirectX and be able to share that across those. The final thing I want to talk about right now is the store, and the store opportunity for game developers is huge. I've only got one slide here because there is an awesome, amazing talk on Friday by one of my friends, Bernardo, who is actually going to talk about the Windows Store in depth. And a lot of the stuff that he covers really helps game developers. Some of the features we've just announced back on February 8 on the Developer Day and the GDC talk, as well as some of the things coming soon, really give you that ability to have a great monetization experience as a game developer. Particularly when you see this slide, you can see we're talking about a convergence of the store. It's that one developer portal, it's the Dev Center. You have unified monetization. You have one single sort of payout, so you don't have to go to different portals to get your different payouts. And you have that consistent store experience, not just for your consumers, but for you as well. It just gives you a much greater experience to build those games. So I've talked a lot about the sort of theory about where we've been, where we're going, and what we're doing with UWP and why it's important for you to think about it from a game developer perspective. What I want to do now is hand over to James, who's going to dive into some more of the technical side of things. So, thanks, James.
Thanks, Andrew. Excuse me. So, I'm James Yarrow. I'm with the Xbox Advanced Technology Group. And Andrew, at the beginning of his presentation, just before we kicked off, he asked a question. He said, who here is a game dev? Well, that's me. I'm a game dev. I've been doing this for a while now. I've been doing it on UWP for a while now. Past couple of years, I've been involved in making games on UWP. I actually go back even further, though, with game development on the Windows runtime. I was doing game development on Windows runtime back, the precursor to Windows UWP, on Windows 8 store apps, Project Spark. That was a game I worked on. More recently, I've been involved in some of the engine technology behind some of our big upcoming titles, Crackdown 3, State of Decay 2. And so what I want to do today is I want to kind of walk you through some of the process that we go through with any of those titles, bringing them to UWP. And that's going to start with just thinking about simple things like getting your development environment set up. And we're going to talk a little bit about making a jump from a traditional Win32 C API world, which is where a lot of games come from. Again, certainly my background before UWP. And finally, we're going to finish off with a little talk about how you can take advantage of some of the great features that Andrew's talked to you about, for instance, in this case, running as a UWP on Xbox One. So, beginning, as I said, with the development environment. Well, the development environment for a UWP game is the same as the development environment for a UWP app. And if you've been hanging around here, you've probably been hearing about that a lot. You need your Windows 10. You're going to need your Windows 10 SDK. And if you want game mode, which is fabulous, you're going to want to get the latest version, the creator's update, so you can take advantage of some of those APIs Andrew showed you. To pair with that, you are, of course, going to want Visual Studio 2017. Now, I want to pause for a moment here. This is about where we'd stop for an app. And for some games, this might be where you stop too. I want to particularly point out that DirectX, X Audio 2, key Microsoft technologies that, you know, are part of lots of games, they are and have been for many years inbox components in Windows, and the developer-facing components are part of the Windows 10 SDK. You should not go get the legacy DirectX SDK to go build your graphics stack. You should use what's in the SDK. Now, if you're going to go further and you are going to do UWP on Xbox, if you want to take advantage of the Xbox Live Creators Program, then there are some extra SDKs to pick up, potentially. Got the Xbox Live SDK, and I've got the Extensions SDK here, which enables connected storage. So. And then sitting on top of all of that, if you're building a game, you've probably got third-party components and middleware. And I'll talk a bit more about that in a moment. That's your PC lined up. Again, if you're going to try and run this on Xbox, there's another component here. You need your Xbox One console. Now, any retail Xbox One console and growing Xbox One family will do here. I've brought along, for a little bit later, a retail Xbox One S. But you do need to walk it through a little procedure to activate it for dev mode. There's an app. It's in the Xbox One store. You're going to want to download that. We've got some step-by-step instructions that we'll throw out some links to later. I said I'd talk more about middleware. Everybody building a game knows lots and lots of interlocking technology pieces, and some of those, the scale of modern development, you still need to build yourself because they're what makes your game special. Some of those you're going to source elsewhere. You're going to buy them in. You're going to use open source code. Whatever it is middleware. Things like, you know, maybe your whole engine, maybe your physics system. Maybe some of your flashbang graphics, your animation systems, your audio, your artificial intelligence user interface. All these things are things that you might bring in from elsewhere to help make your game. When you are bringing in binary components, you need to make sure, or source code for that matter, that they are UWP compatible, or your final game is not going to be UWP ready. What I want to point out is that there are loads of fantastic middleware components available today that work on UWP. I have some examples up there on the slide. There's more. But I want to emphasize that getting that lined up is a great thing to do right off the bat. You can walk out of this room and go track down all the pieces you need to build on UWP, and you should, because there's nothing more frustrating, and I've been there, of getting to the point where your code is all done, and it should work, and it's somebody else's component that has a piece that doesn't work in the UWP environment. Moving past the development environment to think about, well, okay, I'm all set up. How do I port? Well, like I said, a lot of games, they're coming from a more classic Win32 C API environment. Again, that's my background. Now, I mentioned I've been working on games on the Windows runtime for a while now, going back to before the launch of Windows 8. And let me tell you, in those days, things were hard. There was a lot of the Win32 API that really, really didn't come across. It wasn't available in this new development environment. Well, it's really nice for me to be able to stand up here today and tell you that that's mostly changed. What you are going to find is that those Win32 APIs that you were used to, they're mostly going to come straight across. Used to be hard, it's a lot better now. And that's really good news. And I have some examples. DXGI and Direct3D 11. So I've called out 11 specifically here. You saw in Andrew's slide, that's what's required if you're going to run UWP on Xbox. If you're actually only thinking about PC, a Windows desktop device, you've got the full power of D3D 12 available to you if that's what you choose to use. One translation to point out there, there are a few of these as you move Win32 from desktop to UWP. No HWind in UWP. You work with these core windows, your method of creating your swap chain changes a bit. After that, you're up and running. Xinput, specifically the part of Xinput that deals with gamepad controller input. That comes straight across from Win32. It's actually a very convenient shim to the modern Windows Gaming Input API. If you're starting from scratch, I can recommend using Windows Gaming Input. But if you've got old Xinput code to read a gamepad, it comes across. WinSock for networking. Ah, it used to be a big gap. Not anymore. Got your threading APIs. Again, a thing that some of you who were there in the early days might have found was missing. It's all there. File APIs, also there. Again, little note, create file wants to turn into create file too. Otherwise, comes straight across. And I got one more here, sort of special case, because I've noted these are PC desktop only. A lot of what we're talking about today is about how to get to Xbox. But I wanted to call these out specifically. They are present on PC. And the reason I wanted to call them out is because these are a great example of a case where, you know, these are APIs that games have requested in the past that didn't used to be present and now are. And so it's a wonderful example of how the platform is improving for game development. Now, I do want to say, not all of the Win32 API still comes across. Again, most of the stuff that's really game relevant comes across nice and easily. But for an example of one special and pretty interesting case that doesn't, and one that interacts with game mode, I'm actually giving another talk a little later in one of the tech theaters over in the hub, 6:30 today. And I'm going to be going in depth to an example relating to threading where the paradigm changes a bit. So, thinking beyond just individual APIs, more about, you know, how to get your thinking into the UWP space. Well, again, I'm going to go back to middleware. If you're on a middleware game engine, you may find that your game just comes completely cleanly across. No changes may be required. Just flip some build settings, hit some buttons, and you're done. We have seen this happen. But not all of you are going to be in that boat. You know, some of you, maybe you have your existing games. Maybe you've built directly in your own custom engine on top of Win32 APIs. You don't have the option of picking a UWP-ready middleware game engine. Well, I want to be clear. There are some differences. Right? I talked a lot about what does come across. Not everything comes across. And you are going to want to get a really good grip on the key differences between Win32 and UWP. And for games where we've found that people really need to grasp the differences, it's around process lifecycle management, you know, how your app is started, how it ends, what happens when it goes into the background, these things. How you get your window where that comes from, how it gets sized, and how do you deal with input from it? All that changes a bit. It changes a lot in the UWP world. And last of all, you know, how do you take an XE, because ultimately that's what, you know, developers like me, it's what we produce, how do you take that and put it together with all your great game content and put it in a form where you can ship it to the Windows Store, the packaging step? That's another thing that you want to focus on. And there's lots of great resources out there for UWP. Some of it game-focused, some of it not. And so I don't want to go too deep on it here. One thing I do want to call out is that as you go looking for resources on, you know, how to handle the life cycle of a UWP app, how to deal with input, et cetera, you'll find, you know, material that's focused on XAML and material that's focused on DirectX apps. And my experience building games is that most games end up being DirectX apps, and so, you know, as you read, as you learn, you want to make sure that you are thinking about that app model and reading the appropriate material for your app model. So let's fast forward. Let's get to the point where, you know, you've done the porting. With any luck, you got past that initial stage where, you know, your startup code, your windowing code was kind of in pieces. You rebuild it for UWP. You got into that place where everything just starts coming across again. And you're done. You're running as a UWP app. Let's get you on Xbox. What do you need to do? You need to make sure you got a 64-bit build. Probably that's a natural thing for all of you to do. But in case it isn't, it's a box you need to check. Xbox One UWPs are 64-bit only. You will get nowhere with a 32-bit app. You want to make sure you are using Direct3D 11. As we've said a couple of times now, 12 is OK on PC, 11 for Xbox right now. And you want to make sure you can handle a feature level 10 device coming back from the API. So that's describing the actual runtime capabilities of the device you're running on. And that plays into this UWP on Xbox performance envelope for apps. Right? You have, as Andrew pointed out, a kind of limited access to the power of the Xbox One right now. And so you're going to need to make sure you fit in that. Want to make a point that you shouldn't be reliant on mouse input. We talked about keyboard on Xbox One. That's absolutely supported. You know, develop your interesting keyboard console apps. That's fantastic. But don't be reliant on mouse input, because it probably won't work. And so if you need a mouse to get past your main menu, you're not really going to be able to play your game. This is a good opportunity, if you don't already have it, to get your gamepad support working. That's it. You got your UWP, you hit those, you're done. You hit F5, you're running. So, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. I'm going to try and show it. So, we'll see how this goes. We were having some technical issues earlier in the day. It's not that one, is it? Oh, it is that one. It's just somewhere. There it is. Okay. So, what I have here, this is going to be fun. Okay. Andrew, just help me out here. Let's see. Let's duplicate. That will work better. Okay. If I can find my mouse cursor now, there we are. Okay, so I have here a sample app that some of you might actually recognize. What I've done is I've downloaded the Unity 3D Space Shooter tutorial. I've taken their finished package. I've put it through the Unity editor. I've hit the button that says build for UWP, please. And it's produced for me a Visual Studio solution, Space Shooter. You can see it up there. So, I'm going to go ahead and run it right here. Let's see if this works. That's looking good. Okay, so here's my UWP app. It's running on PC. Oh, I wasn't very good. All right. Well, that was short-lived. That's fine. We can live with that. There we go. What I want to do now is take exactly this same app. I'm going to switch my debugger. I'm going to point it at a remote machine. I should have my Xbox IP already put in. I believe that is correct. I'm going to hit go, and we'll see what happens. We'll see if this demo did, in fact, come through by the seat of its pants. Again, people are probably familiar with that. It's taking a minute. It might tell me I need to pair my Xbox. It does tell me I need to pair my Xbox, so I'm going to go ahead and do that. I was hoping to do it before presentation. Let me... So this is a step that you will actually have to do. This is real world you are seeing here. Okay, I'm going to take that code. Yeah, and if you've used UWP on off PC devices, you will be used to this. I put that in Visual Studio. With any luck, it pairs up. It's a good sign. Oh, no. Apparently, I typed it in wrong. M4W48E, it's it. No. M4W48E, if I could only type. Hang on. We may have a pairing problem here. Oh, because I've got caps lock on. Now I see. Yeah, don't do that. Put the right pin in. And it's still... I think it might have paired that time. Let's see. Let's see, is that going anywhere? We'll give it one more minute. It says it's deploying, it's got a bunch of files to copy across. It's thinking. I apologize again for the slightly on-fire demo here. We got our machine at the last minute. It is still copying files across. There we go. That's quite a good sign. It's, you know, removed the old copy of Space Shooter I had there back when I was practicing. It's copying some new files across. It tells me it is registering the application to run from layout. And here we go. There we go. We did it. Same game. Gamepad input. Yeah, it is easier. Still not any good. So, same executable, same package. Run it here. You might notice there it says press R to restart. If I plugged a keyboard in and pressed R, it would work. Don't have one right now to do. But with that, I hope, let's see, we'll get this right, right device. That's not the right one. That's the right one, I think. Yep. I do want to finish with some troubleshooting notes. Suppose that had gone horribly wrong. It almost did. It doesn't always go as well as it did just there. Sometimes you F5 to your Xbox, and despite what I've been telling you about how easy it just doesn't run. Well, in that scenario, I'm here to tell you that WAC, the Windows App Certification Kit, is your friend. It is awesome. I run it all the time. I'm not actually shipping a game right now. I'm, you know, getting close, but, you know, I still run WAC very regularly because it tells me whether or not my app really is universal. That is the number one thing that I have seen in my personal experience getting games to UWP about why they won't run on some device. They're not actually really universal. Somewhere secretly, they've got a dependency on some aspect of the desktop environment. So, your code, when you do that, you should on the whole get errors at compile time. The team tries very hard to make sure that those kinds of errors, you're using the wrong bits of the SDK, those show up at compile time. But again, come back to these third-party middleware binaries. This is where it can get frustrating. Maybe you have the wrong version still. Maybe that's where the incompatibility is creeping in. Well, WAC will help tell you that. And so that is the number one place I go to when things fail to launch on Xbox. Once you got past launch, you saw I was using Visual Studio. You've got the full power of Visual Studio at your disposal. You're debugging your game code on an Xbox One. It's the same development environment you're used to. You have all those tools. After that, you can track it down, no problem. So I hope that, you know, that's given you kind of a whirlwind tour through the process of, you know, taking your existing game code or maybe just your game idea and your game development experience and getting that on UWP and getting it running on an Xbox. I'm going to, at this point, hand things back to Andrew, who's going to wrap up with just some ideas on what's next, where you can go from here. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, James. So if there's one thing you can take away from today, I think it's the convergence of our operating system, of our store, of our development environment allows you to build games for the entire Microsoft ecosystem. We've talked about Windows 10 and Xbox today, but HoloLens and mixed reality are just around the corner and give you that ability. You can just build that for all of those. I want to highlight a couple of things before we finish up, and it looks like we may have a couple of minutes for questions as well that you can come up and ask us afterwards. But number one, get a Dev Center account. If you don't have one already, we're actually giving away tokens at the Dev Center kiosk in the expert zone. So swing by there. They've told me it's totally OK for me to plug them. You should go grab one and get a free Dev Center account. And that's the only thing you need to have to be able to publish UWP games on Xbox and Windows. Sign up for the Creators Program. They're currently in an insider program sort of mode right now opening up in the summer. For those of you who don't live on the Northern Hemisphere, the winter, I like Australian. But the Insider program is right now. You can start building and using those APIs right now as part of that. It's important to note it's an open program, too, and they actually have all the APIs are available and have a user voice to get feature requests. And Clint up the back and I and a couple other guys have been working hard for a long time to actually have an end-to-end game development guide. It starts with prototyping. It starts with game ideas, and it goes all the way through to not just developing and testing and publishing, but post-publishing, monetization, and implementing all these different programs and features and technologies that you can have access to at Microsoft for building games. And it's end-to-end, and we have a website, and we actually have a PDF that you can download and print, and that URL right there, aka.ms/UWP Game Dev Guide, will get you started, and it's huge. In fact, when we took the website and converted it to a document, it was 35 pages, and predominantly just links off to other pages, because there's just so much information we have there, and more getting exposed outside of NDA walls all the time. But you can do more as well, not just these things, but you can actually go to James's Tech Theater session this afternoon. It's at 6:30 in one of the Tech Theaters over in the Expert Zone. There's a little bit more detail on the technical side. There is a pre-recorded session that Mehmet, who actually is here, has done for Creators Program, and they also have a dedicated kiosk in the Expert Zone, and they're very keen to talk to people who are interested in building games with Xbox Live. There's a Windows Store talk I mentioned earlier. 100% recommend that as something you should go to and check out the monetization and opportunity for the store when you're a game developer there. And then there are three talks we delivered at GDC that are all available on Channel 9 for the Creators Program, Game Mode, and the store that are all 100% dedicated to game developers. So that store talk, the GDC one, is optimized for game developers. And I highly recommend all three of those. They are amazing talks. And it was fascinating how much interest I had in the store talk. He kept everyone really engaged. So that's it for us today. I thank you for your attention. I hope that you got something out of that. And I look forward to a bunch more games on Xbox and Windows soon. Thanks, guys.